The following program is rated U for universal audiences and is considered suitable for listeners of all ages.
This is a presentation of Dream Realm Enterprises, where dreams are our reality.
Hi, this is Jerry Kokich, your announcer for Poet's Passion. We present our final episode of the series, a holiday episode featuring the writing talent of Jonathan Patrick Russell and poems from the public domain read by Pete Lutz and myself. The Warmth of the Season by Jonathan Patrick Russell. It is the warmth of the season despite the cold weather. It is the joy of family and friends who hold your heart's tether. It is the comfort of love, the spirit of giving, the joy in a child's laughter, the happiness of living. To see the bright smiles on so many faces, to cherish loved ones, or to visit new places. The warmth of the holiday is within your own choosing to stay home with family or go out cruising. No matter how you celebrate, no matter what you do, it's all about the company you keep. It's about them and you. The warmth of the season makes everything bright. The love and time we share makes everything feel right. Be thankful for your blessings. Hold tight like a glove. Never forget the memories. Never forget the love. Family and friends is what it's all about. Sharing the joy of the season, there can be no doubt. So sing a song with your loved ones, eat a home-cooked meal, share some time with good people, and cherish how that feels. And now, Christmas at Sea by Robert Louis Stevenson and Christmas Trees by Robert Frost, read by Pete Lutz.
The sheets were frozen hard and they cut the naked hand. The decks were like a slide where a seaman scarce could stand. The wind was a nor'wester, blowing squally off the sea, and cliffs and spouting breakers were the only things alee. They heard the surf roaring before the break of day, but 'twas only with a peep of light we saw how ill we lay. We tumbled every hand on deck, instanter with a shout, and we gave her the main topsail, and stood by to go about. All day we tacked and tacked between the south head and the north. All day we hauled the frozen sheets and got no further forth. All day was cold as charity, in bitter pain and dread. For very life and nature we tacked from head to head. We gave the south a wider berth, for there the tide race roared. But every tack we made, we brought the north head close aboard. So's we saw the cliffs and houses, and the breakers running high, and the coast guard in his garden with his glass against his eye. The frost was on the village roofs as white as ocean foam. The good red fires were burning bright in every longshore home. The windows sparkled clear and the chimneys volleyed out, and I vow we sniffed the victuals as the vessel went about. The bells upon the church were rung with a mighty jovial cheer, for it's just that I should tell you how, of all days in the year, this day of our adversity was blessed Christmas morn, and the house above the coast guards was the house where I was born. Oh, well, I saw the pleasant room, the pleasant faces there, my mother's silver spectacles, my father's silver hair, and well I saw the firelight, like a flight of homely elves, go dancing round the china plates that stand upon the shelves. And well I knew the talk they had, the talk that was of me, of the shadow of the household and the sun that went to sea. And oh, the wicked fool I seemed in every kind of way to be here and hauling frozen ropes on blessed Christmas Day. They lit the high sea light and the dark began to fall. All hands to loose top gallant sails, I heard the captain call. By the Lord, she'll never stand it, our first mate Jackson cried. It's one way or the other, Mr. Jackson, he replied. She staggered to her bearings, but the sails were new and good, and the ship smelt up to windward, just as though she understood. As the winter's day was ending in the entry of the night, we cleared the weary headland and passed below the light. And they heaved a mighty breath, every soul on board but me, as they saw her nose again, pointing handsome out to sea. But all that I could think of, in the darkness and the cold, was just that I was leaving home, and my folks were growing old. The city had withdrawn into itself and left at last the country to the country. When, between whirls of snow not come to lie and whirls of foliage not yet laid, there drove a stranger to our yard, who looked the city, yet did in country fashion, in that there he sat and waited till he drew us out a buttoning coats to ask him who he was. He proved to be the city come again to look for something it had left behind and could not do without and keep its Christmas. He asked if I would sell my Christmas trees, my woods, the young fir balsams, like a place where houses all are churches and have spires. I hadn't thought of them as Christmas trees. I doubt if I was tempted for a moment to sell them off their feet to go in cars and leave the slope behind the house all bare, where the sun shines now no warmer than the moon. I'd hate to have them know it if I was. Yet more I'd hate to hold my trees except as others hold theirs, or refuse for them, beyond the time of profitable growth, the trial by market everything must come to. I dallied so much with the thought of selling, then, whether from mistaken courtesy and fear of seeming short of speech, or whether from hope of hearing good of what was mine, I said, "There aren't enough to be worthwhile. I could soon tell how many they would cut, you let me look them over. You could look, but don't expect I'm going to let you have them. Pasture they spring in, some in clumps too close that lop each other of boughs, but not a few quite solitary and having equal boughs all round and round." The latter he nodded yes to, or paused to say beneath some lovelier one with a buyer's moderation, "That would do." I thought so too, but wasn't there to say so. We climbed the pasture on the south, crossed over, and came down on the north. He said, 1,000. 1,000 Christmas trees? At what a piece? He felt some need of softening that to me. 1,000 trees would come to $30. Then I was certain I had never meant to let him have them. Never show surprise, but $30 seemed so small beside the extent of pasture I should strip. 3 cents, for that was all they figured out apiece. 3 cents, so small beside the dollar, friends I should be writing to within the hour would pay in cities for good trees like those. Regular vestry trees, whole Sunday schools could hang enough on to pick off enough. 1,000 Christmas trees I didn't know I had. Worth 3 cents more to give away than sell, as may be shown by a simple calculation. Too bad I couldn't lay one in a letter. I can't help wishing I could send you one, in wishing you herewith a Merry Christmas.
Pete Lutz's Narada Radio Company presents A Christmas Carol by George Wither.
A Christmas Carol, written by George Wither, 1622.
So now is come our joyfulst feast. Let every man be jolly. Each room with ivy leaves is dressed, and every post with holly. Though some churls at our mirth repine, round your foreheads garlands twine, drown sorrow in a cup of wine, and let us all be merry.
Now all our neighbors' chimneys smoke, and Christmas blocks are burning. Their ovens they with baked meats choke, and all their spits are turning. Without the door let sorrow lie, and if for cold it hap to die, we'll bury it in a Christmas pie, and evermore be merry.
Now every lad is wondrous trim, and no man minds his labor. Our lasses have provided them a bagpipe and a tabor. Young men and maids and girls and boys give life to one another's joys, and you anon shall by their noise perceive that they are merry.
Rank misers now do sparing shun, their hall of music soundeth, and dogs thence with whole shoulders run, so all things there aboundeth. The country folk themselves advance, for crowdy muttons come out of France, and Jack shall pipe and Jill shall dance, and all the town be merry.
Ned Swash hath fetched his bands from pawn, and all his best apparel. Briskinell hath bought a ruff of lawn with droppings of the barrel. And those that hardly all the year had bread to eat or rags to wear will have both clothes and dainty fare and all the day be merry.
Now poor men to the justices with capons make their errants, and if they hap to fail of these, they plague them with their warrants. But now they feed them with good cheer, and what they want they take in beer. For Christmas comes but once a year, and then they shall be merry.
Good farmers in the country nurse the poor that else were undone. Some landlords spend their money worst on lust and pride at London. There the roysters they do play, drab and dice their land away, which may be ours another day, and therefore let's be merry.
The client now his suit forbears, the prisoner's heart is eased, the debtor drinks away his cares, and for the time is pleased. Though others' purses be more fat, why should we pine or grieve at that? Hang sorrow, care will kill a cat, and therefore let's be merry.
Hark, how the wags abroad do call each other forth to rambling. Anon you'll see them in the hall for nuts and apples scrambling. Hark, how the roofs with laughter sound. Anon they'll think the house goes round, for they the cellar's depth have found, and there they will be merry.
The wenches with their wassail bowls about the streets are singing. The boys are come to catch the owls the wild mare in is bringing. Our kitchen boy hath broke his box, and to the dealing of the ox, our honest neighbors come by flocks, and here they will be merry.
Now kings and queens poor sheepcotes have, and mate with everybody. The honest now may play the knave, and wise men play at naughty.
Some youths will now a mumming go, and others play at rowl and hoe, and 20 other game boys mow, because they will be merry. Then wherefore in these merry days should we, I pray, be duller?
No, let us sing some roundelays to make our mirth the fuller.
And whilst thus inspired we sing, let all the streets with echoes ring.
Woods and hills and everything
bear witness we are merry.
Almost every year, your company, the Narada Radio Company, chooses to perform the classic It's a Wonderful Life. Could you tell us about what makes that story special for you and why you select it over other holiday favorites?
Well, I chose It's a Wonderful Life because another theater in the city where I live does a Christmas carol every year, and it's a live, fully cast show with music and spectacle and all that sort of thing. And so I couldn't use the script, the radio script from A Christmas Carol, and expect to get anybody to come see it. So I said, well, let's do my favorite Christmas movie. And the script for Lux Radio's adaptation was available, and I did that. The first year I did it was 2018, and it was just the straight script as written. I did change the commercials from Lux to something else. I didn't want to make it seem like Lux was supporting us in any way, so I changed the commercials to a sponsor called Cardboard Box, and it was everybody's favorite Christmas toy, Cardboard Box, and even wrote jingles for it. The second year was 2019, and I changed the sponsor again to Fester Shield Cigarettes and wrote a whole new series of jingles. One of them goes, what do you think you're doing, chum? Drinking beer or chewing gum? Don't you know you should be smoking some? Fester Shields, they pacify. And then we didn't do it in 2020 because of the pandemic. And when I thought we were going to do it, before the pandemic came out, I completely changed the script, not completely, but I augmented it with dialogue from the movie and added some characters in that really I felt should have been represented. Annie the maid, a few other members of the town of Bedford Falls and so on, just to make it longer because, you know, the original Lux Radio Theater version was only an hour long. The movie itself is upwards of 2 hours. So I wanted the customers who were buying these tickets to get a longer show, get more entertainment instead of just coming in for an hour and then going home. The average theater goer spends at least 2 hours in a regular musical. So why not? So we have it now where the first act is about 45 minutes. And then there's a 15-minute intermission, and then they come back, and then there's another act, which is another 45 minutes. So it's really an hour and a half or so, 2 hours when you count the 15-minute intermission. And it's a fun show. 10 actors who are creating more than 40 citizens of Bedford Falls, and then the same actors, some of the same actors are doing the commercials in completely different character voices. So it's a wonderful experience for the theater going public when they come in, and we're there in front of microphones holding scripts, and we're dressed kind of period, you know, nothing too elaborate, but we're not there in t-shirts and jeans. So live sound effects and live music. We're putting it on in a little seaside community that hosts some people call them snowbirds. We call them winter Texans. They come from the northern states and spend, they're retirees for the most part, and they come down from the northern states and they spend the winter in this little seaside community of Port Aransas, and they call them winter Texans. And they usually come to the shows, and it's a nice group of people.
Could you share with us some of the upcoming projects Narada has for the 2022 season?
What's coming up? Oh, wow. Well, if this coming year is anything like 2021, we're going to be putting out quite a bit of content, starting out with a special 3-episode series called Adventure Trail. I wanted it to be longer, but it's just going to be 3 for the time being as this sort of mini series. So these 3 stories are all adapted from Pulp Fiction tales in the public domain. 2 Westerns and 1 that's set between the World Wars in the Navy. And after that, it'll be time to get started on Sonic Summerstock 2022. Sonic Summerstock Playhouse, in case your listeners don't know, is an annual festival of old-time radio reenactments that's hosted on the Mutual Audio Network. We get people from all over the place, from around the world. During Sonic Summerstock, they choose some series and choose an episode and then remake it in their own vision. And that's what's fun about it, because some people will do it exactly as written and it's a direct copy. Others will adapt it and change it a little bit and put in modern music and more elaborate sound effects. For example, last year I did one called The Derelict, an episode of Escape. The original one was set on a ship in one of Earth's oceans, but I transplanted it to outer space. And so these 4 people are aboard a derelict spaceship that somehow rescued them from an escape pod from a ship that had been blown up in a meteor shower. So that's the same adventure and the same people and the same personalities, but just in a different location. And that's how I adapted it. So it worked really well. This coming year, I'm going to be doing 3 reenactments. 1 is an episode of The Campbell Playhouse, then an episode of something from BBC Radio in the 50s, and then an episode of Lux Radio Theater, Les Miserables, their adaptation from the 50s. So that'll put me into the summer. And if my luck holds out the way it did this year, I'll be able to do something for Transcontinental Terror. This year I did 5 brand new episodes of The Cellar as a miniseries, and those came out in October. And I may do the same thing for next year. I'm not sure. And then in December, I'll put out a new Jake Dimes Range Detective Christmas story. I've done one that came out last year. It was Santa's Stolen Toy Sack. I've got a new one scheduled for this coming December which is called The Santa Claus of Bitter Creek, and I'll do another one next year. So a busy year for 2022. I hope to put out additional content. I just haven't planned what that is yet. So I hope you'll all tune in and catch those shows. Thanks a lot.
This last piece isn't exactly a poem, but an editorial response by Frances Varselis Church to a little girl named Virginia. She writes, "Dear editor, I am 8 years old. Some of my little friends say there is no Santa Claus. Papa says if you see it in the sun, it's so. Please tell me the truth. Is there a Santa Claus? Virginia, your little friends are wrong. They have been affected by the skepticism of a skeptical age. They do not believe, except they see. They think that nothing can be which is not comprehensible by their little minds. All minds, Virginia, whether they be men's or children's, are little. In this great universe of ours, man is a mere insect, an ant in his intellect, as compared with the boundless world about him, as measured by the intelligence capable of grasping the whole of truth and knowledge. Yes, Virginia, there is a Santa Claus. He exists as certainly as love and generosity and devotion exist, and you know that they abound and give to your life its highest beauty and joy. Alas, how dreary would be the world if there were no Santa Claus. It would be as dreary as if there were no Virginias. There would be no childlike faith then, no poetry, no romance to make tolerable this existence. We should have no enjoyment except in sense and sight, the eternal light with which childhood fills the world would be extinguished. Not believe in Santa Claus? You might as well not believe in fairies. You might get your papa to hire men to watch in all the chimneys on Christmas Eve to catch Santa Claus, but even if they did not see Santa Claus coming down, what would that prove? Nobody sees Santa Claus. But that is no sign that there is no Santa Claus. The most real things in the world are those that neither children nor men can see. Did you ever see fairies dancing on the lawn? Of course not, but that's no proof that they are not there. Nobody can conceive or imagine all the wonders that are unseen and unseeable in this world. You may tear apart the baby's rattle and see what makes the noise inside, but there is a veil covering the unseen world which not the strongest man, nor even the united strength of all the strongest men that ever lived, could tear apart. Only faith, fancy, poetry, love, romance can push aside that curtain and view and picture the supernal beauty and glory beyond. Is it all real? Virginia, in all this world, there is nothing else real and abiding. No Santa Claus. Thank God he lives, and he lives forever. 1,000 years from now, Virginia, nay, 10 times 10,000 years from now, he will continue to make glad the heart of childhood." This concludes our final episode of Poet's Passion. I'm your host, Jerry Kokich, and the original poem, The Warmth of the Season, featured in this special holiday episode, was written by Jonathan Patrick Russell, with poems from the public domain by Stevenson, Frost, Wither, and Frances Varselis Church, read by Jerry Kokich and Pete Lutz with his Narada Radio Company. A Christmas Carol by George Wither featured the voices of Pete Lutz, Austin Hanna, Jerry Eliff, George Hatfield, and Christy Glick. All original poems belong to the author and were used with the author's expressed written permission. Poet's Passion was produced by Rachel Pulliam for Jonathan Patrick Russell's Dream Realm Enterprises. Music was by Purple Planet. This is Jerry Kokich wishing you warm and happy holidays from all of us here at Dream Realm Enterprises. Coming soon to Soul Twin Audios.
Well, what's going on here?
Oh, darn it. We wanted to have the tree all trimmed by the time you come home. I feel as lit up as that Christmas tree. Connie, you told Timmy about us. What did he say?
Well, you know how children are. They don't like changes. But I'm sure he's...
Maybe you'd rather I come down the chimney.
Steve!
Well, where did you go to, a matinee? I looked all over for you. It's the last time I ever pick up a comparison shopper.
Well, hello.
Oh, Carl, this is Steve.
Mason.
Carl Davis.
Hi. Yeah, I lost her in the crowd. We were out shopping and I got separated.
We got separated. We met at Crowley's this morning and then we went...
She got me fired. And then we started
That's how we met.
Soul to an Audios brings you a recreation of Lux Radio Theater's Holiday Affair. Starring Gina Maravec, J.S. Farrington, Carl Warner, and Dorothy Farrington.
This program is copyright 2021, all rights reserved, and is brought to you by Dream Realm Enterprises, warping to new dimensions.